जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी,
गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी,
जय गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन, यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन, यमुना तेरा वनचारी, यमुना तेरा वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, यमुना तीरा वनचारी, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Vallabha Radha Vallabha Shri Radhe Jaya Gauranitai 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 Jaya Gauranitai Jagannatha Baladeva Jaya Subhadra Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Haribol, Gaura Haribol,
Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Haribol, Satasi Siman has divine grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaisnavinda ki jai. This confounded Tarja Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prem Sikho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinda ki jai. Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopinath Sai Mukunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Sri Navadvipa Mayapodham ki jai. Ganga Mai ki jai, Jamuna Mai ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulasi Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai. All gloriously assembled devotees, all gloriously assembled devotees, all gloriously assembled devotees, all glories to Sisi Guru Angaranga Nitai Gaur Premananda Yari. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamane. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pratarane, Nibhasesha Sanyavari Paskati Desatarane. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This is 10th canto, excuse me, 7th canto, chapter 15, text 45. Yavan rikayaratam atma vishopakalpam. Date garista charana charanaya nisattam. Gyanasi matrutta balo dadarasra chatru. Swananda tushta upasanta idam vijayat.
One more word.
Jayat. Okay. Pancharatna, are you ready? Any of the ladies like to chant?
Can you read it?
Yavat.
As long as.
I should say that this verse is a continuation of the explanation given in the previous verses that compare the material body to a chariot. And the driver of the chariot is the living entity, meaning the soul, meaning us. Usually, of course, we identify with our material body, and even more than that, we identify with our minds. But here, the body is compared to a chariot, and the driver is completely different from the chariot, yet he should be directing his body, just like the charioteer will be directing the chariot in the direction that he wants to go in. And here, Narada Muni, speaking to Maharaj Yudhisthira, is insisting that the chariot of the body is for a human being must be directed towards finding out the purpose of life. The body, mind, our life should be directed towards finding out the supreme truth. It should be directed towards asking questions that only human beings can ask. Who am I? Who am I really? Because, of course, we usually think of ourselves as the body. But if I'm my body, well, which body am I? The body of me when I was a little boy, or the body of me when I was a young man? And which body is me then? So this question of who am I and what is the purpose of my life is something that is not emphasized nowadays anywhere in the schools, for the children, or for the PhD students. No one is asking about what life's purpose is. No one is even thinking in that way. Does life have a purpose? And then when one becomes elderly, when one becomes old, and the chariot of our body starts breaking, the wheels don't turn properly, the reins, the horses are weak, that are pulling the chariot. But at that time, one looks back and thinks, what was the purpose of all this? And at that time, one can easily become so cynical. Cynical means that everything is terrible in this world. It's a look at life as if it's just simply terrible. But the reality is that most people really do live terrible lives, and useless lives, useless in the sense of they don't really fulfill any ultimate purpose. We tend to take the temporary as everything and take the body as just a facility to enjoy. I've heard Prabhupada say this so many times, on the level of animals, but sophisticated animals. So, of course, the young people, they can't understand what I'm speaking about. And certainly when I was young, I couldn't understand. And really, until you become old, I think, unless you're very wise, until you become old, you don't really believe that it's all going to end at some point, because there's a sense within us all of our eternality. There's a sense of our eternality, that we're eternal. And we don't really think that one day the body is going to collapse unless we get a shock in our life and the doctor tells us that tomorrow may not be just like today. So we don't really think in that way. And elderly people are looked at as, Prabhupada even said that. He said that people tend to look at elderly people, could you maybe stay over there, because it may be catching like the cold or COVID or something like that. And indeed, you don't have to catch it from anyone else. In fact, you already have it. The disease is already there. But we don't see in that way. We become so caught up in the temporary struggles of life and trying to fulfill our ambitions and our desires and trying to remove the difficulties of life that we don't really think about life's purpose. And even amongst devotees, although we tend to know everything theoretically, we don't really think that life has the purpose of learning to love Krishna. And we don't tend to look at our life and see how much are we actually developing love for Krishna and detachment from the petty, small difficulties of life. So this verse, which we shall read right now, gives us some very important hints, not hints, but directions on how to use the chariot, drive the chariot of our life in a way that is truly meaningful. In one sense, all we could ever be is insignificant. I mean, there's billions of people in this world. How many? Eight, 9 billion, perhaps. But how many living entities, how many live people are, I mean, live creatures are in this world? If you include, I mean, we were at near a lake yesterday, and it seemed to be thousands and billions of little creatures flying around just at that little lake. What to speak of in this world is just billions and billions and billions and billions of souls in different kinds of bodies. And of course, only the human body gives the intelligence and the facility to ask questions, reflective, introspective questions about life and life's purpose. Sit properly. Only a human being has the intelligence to ask, who am I and what is life's purpose? What to speak of to act, and that's always the harder part, to act in such a way that's consistent with our highest ideals, to act in such a way that's consistent with what we really want in life. So, yavat, as long as nrikaya, this human form of body, ratam, considered to be a chariot, atmavasa, dependent upon one's own control. That's so interesting. As long as we are in this chariot of our body, that is dependent upon one's own control. Atmavasa, our life is dependent upon our control. We do have some freedom, not complete freedom, but we have some freedom. How we want to use our life. We tend to get so caught up in life, and we get the routines of life and the rituals of life, that we don't really think that we have any freedom. And in one sense, that's the way the material world is organized. to give us the impression that you have to do this and you have to do this and you have to do this and you have to answer every email and you have to answer this and you have to do this and you have to support this and you have to take care of this one. You have to do this and you have to do that and you have to do this and you have to do that and you have to do this. That's what it feels like. And it goes so fast, especially nowadays. The speed of life is so fast that we don't really think, what's that saying? T-Z-I-F. Thank God it's Friday. But why? So at least I have a little freedom on the weekend, which we never end up having anyway. And we're too tired, even if we do have some choice. Why do they call vacations, school vacations, why do they call it vacations? If you're a parent, you'll know what I mean. It's extra. Of course, not in the case of these illustrious children over here. So we do have some choice. And we want an intelligent person will consider what his her choices are and act in a wise way. Intelligence is one thing, but wisdom is something else. Gyan vigyan. Gyan means knowledge. Vigyan means wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge to our life. We have choice. How many of you feel that you are sort of stuck and don't have much choice in life? Everyone but Chris and us over here. You also feel you don't have any choice. You and I agree, but at least you're being directed in a good way. But we do have choice. We also have a choice. Sometimes there's certain activities we have to do, and they take up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But our internal consciousness, we have a lot of choice about how and why we do the things that we do. Even the Bhagavad Gita was spoken in that way. Why did Krishna speak the Bhagavad Gita? I'm going to ask some of the young ones. Why did Krishna speak the Bhagavad Gita? Yes, you raise your hand so enthusiastically. What's your name?
Aviraj.
Aviraj? Thank you, Babir. Thank you very much. What instructions did he want to give humankind? Yes. Which means what?
Eternal
duty of the soul. Jiva Dharma, Sanatan Dharma. What the soul's eternal position is, in eternity. Now we're just seeing the soul's activities in the material world, but what is the eternal soul's, his activities in the land of eternity? I was thinking of a different answer, but your answer was so nice. I was thinking of an answer that was superficial, and yours was more deep. I was thinking of he wanted to get Arjuna to fight as the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. But Arjuna was going to fight anyway. Krishna also says this, impelled by your own nature, you're a kshatriya, you will fight. And Arjuna spoke of so many reasons why he didn't want to fight, and they were good reasons. And later on in the Bhagavatam, Yudhisthira Maharaj was suffering from the reasons that Arjuna was fearing before the battle. After the battle, Yudhisthira was suffering because thousands and thousands and thousands of people had been killed to place him on the throne. And Arjuna didn't want to fight because he saw some of these results. He looked into the future. Intelligence means to look in the future, to be able to see the future. So Arjuna gave, well, Krishna spoke on so many different levels that the fighting could take place, that you can fight to win the kingdom and enjoy with your friends and relatives. And Arjuna really said, that's why I don't want to fight, because they're all going to be dead and I won't be able to enjoy with anyone. And not only that, he didn't want to fight because there was going to be reactions, terrible reactions that he would have to face for killing so many people. But Krishna spoke to Arjuna, and Arjuna came to the conclusion, and he fought. He came to the conclusion that I want to fight because this will be pleasing to Krishna. Yes, even a battle in this case was pleasing to Krishna. That means that Krishna wanted Arjuna to do his duty, but in a state of consciousness that was bhakti, for Krishna's pleasure. And therein, if nowhere else, we have freedom. How could I live my life? How could I do the things that I'm doing in such a way that Krishna will be pleased, instead of being the usual selfish creature that I am day after day, that's so unsatisfying to me and everyone else? Do something for the pleasure of Krishna. We have choice there. We have choice. The verse continues. Upakalpam, in which there are many other subordinate parts. Datte, one possesses Garishta Charan, the lotus feet of the superiors, namely the spiritual master and his predecessors. Archanaya, by serving. So here's the guidance that we're going to be given, how to live our lives. By serving, nisatam, sharpened, jnana asim, the sword or weapon of knowledge, achyutabala, by the transcendental strength of Krishna, dadat, holding, astashatru, until the enemy is defeated. So the idea is that we get transcendental knowledge. And again, this is what differentiates a human being from an animal. An animal can get knowledge. A tree even has knowledge. He can see the trees. If there's something blocking them from getting the light, the sunlight, which gives them energy, they will go around that. The plants will go around that. And the roots of the tree, this is a tree which doesn't have very much self-consciousness or energy or intelligence. It has so much intelligence. It will find water in such an amazing way, especially if you plant the tree next to your house. It'll break everything to get to the water pipes, and then break the water pipes too. Has anyone had that experience? Intelligence. Did anyone ever hear a frog roar? Like this. Roar. Did anyone ever hear it? It's funny, isn't it? But I've heard a frog roar. Somehow or another, a frog got into my bathroom, and he was hiding in my bathroom. I couldn't find him. And it's peculiar to have a frog in your bathroom. And then one morning I turned on the light and I surprised him, and there he was. And I had a bucket. And I put it over him. I was trying to be gentle with him, don't worry. And actually I ended up putting something underneath the bucket and I ended up taking him out. But he started roaring and roaring. It was shocking. I became afraid. Did I capture a frog or a tiger? And eventually I took him outside and I threw him over into my neighbor's yard. Huh? Excuse me? Why? They don't have frogs in Australia? They do, I promise you. But the Australian frogs roar. And the Indian frogs say, jay. So they have intelligence. He was smart enough to try to frighten me. He tried his best to frighten me with his roar. That was his line of protection. He was frightened. So he has intelligence. We should use that intelligence to see. He was seeing the future. He didn't know what that future was. He was trapped. He was frightened. We should use our intelligence, and where to get the intelligence from. It was said, of course, by the verse, Gurista Charan, with the lotus feet of the superiors, namely the spiritual master and his predecessors. So we'll read the verse quite soon. And we get knowledge in this way. And with that knowledge, we apply it to our life. We really try to apply it to our life in a wise way. Not just theoretically implanted on our life. We have to apply it with wisdom to get the proper result. Have any of you had the experience of having transcendental knowledge and applying it not wisely? I have had that experience. So one has to hold on to this knowledge and use it until the enemy is defeated. Astasatu. And then next, Swanandatusta. Being fully self-satisfied by transcendental bliss. Upasanta. The consciousness being cleansed of all material contamination. Idam. Body, vijayat, one should give up. So at some point, because this world is not one, it's eternal in the sense that all the ingredients of the material world are eternal and they're continuously being transformed. But no situation in the material world is eternal. I'll read the verse. As long as one has to accept a material body, I'm going to ask especially the young ones, but sometimes the older ones too, what after I read it, I'm going to ask them if they remember anything. So, are you still a younger one? Young one? You've been a young one forever, it seems. How old are you now? Okay, you're still a young one. As long as one has to accept a material body. Are you listening? What did I just say? If you were really sharp, you would have said, what did I just say? Okay. Are you going to listen or not? Are you sure? Try your best. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of one's superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. Excuse me, yeah, one must have them. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge, and with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above, mentioned previously. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. What do you remember? Just one thing. Yes, thank you. What do you remember? At least you learned something. You should pay attention. So what do you remember? As long as one has to accept the material body, what do you remember? As long as when one has a material body, which parts aren't under control. See, it's especially the mind is so hard to control. Especially if you have unlimited data on your mobile phone. Do you have a mobile phone?
No.
Good. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and his spiritual master's predecessors, because the spiritual master doesn't make up things. He's repeating through realization, perhaps, but he's repeating the same knowledge in Guru Parampara that he has heard from his spiritual master. He has that dedication to his spiritual master. We're thinking of Srila Prabhupada and his great power. He sat right there on that Vyasasana. He was so powerful. He sat there with as the representative of the Guru Parampara, not on his own power, so he could say such things with such determination, with such strength, such conviction. His Guru Maharaj was so powerful. His Guru Maharaj was so powerful. These souls were so exalted. They were so realized. And we have the fortune of getting knowledge from them through disciplic succession, through their books. And we have freedom, how much we want to wisely apply that knowledge to. By their mercy, mercy is so much in instructions. Often people ask for mercy in the form of blessings, which usually the way I think of that is, so I don't have to do anything. Like some kind of a blessing pill from a blessing ATM. But so much of the mercy from Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas and their servants comes through instructions. But we always have freedom to turn our back on those instructions or face those instructions and apply it to our life, even though it might not be the easiest thing. It's still in our best interest to live our life knowing that we have an eternal relationship with Krishna and we are here temporarily with the blessing of a human body with intelligence that can self-reflect, that can introspect, that can serve. By their mercy, one can sharpen the sword of knowledge, discrimination. This is good, this is not so good. and with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy. And that's so much the mercy, the instruction of every great religious spiritual teacher, is that for true strength and ability, we turn to the Supreme Lord. We don't turn to something impersonal, because by definition, something that is nirgun, that has no qualities, cannot reciprocate with us. It cannot hear our prayers, even, cannot fulfill our desires, because it has no qualities. It doesn't have the ability, the quality of reciprocation, the quality of hearing, because that's, it's nirgun, no qualities. But we are taught by Krishna and his representatives in the practically the conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, is we should turn to Krishna and I will protect you. Matpara, don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry. You are my servant, you are my dear one. You turn to me and I will protect you. I was listening to Prabhupada speak on this point in Vrindavan just this morning, because I was listening to one of his talks while he was sitting in 1972 at Radha Damodar. And he said that the residents of Vrindavan, meaning the Brijbasis, meaning the Nanda Yashoda, the cowherd boys, the cowherd men, the gopis, whenever they were in difficulty, they turned to Krishna. And Krishna immediately reciprocated with them. And where do I turn when I'm in difficulty? It's not always to Krishna, certainly. This is one of the characteristics of the residents of Vrindavan. They knew only Krishna. This is the characteristic of pure devotional service. I know Krishna. I am Krishna's, and Krishna is. When one actually, honestly, fully thinks, I am Krishna's, that comes along with the concomitant, with the simultaneous thought that Krishna is mine. I am Krishna's. I am Krishna's what? I am Krishna's servant. That's the basic consciousness of us all. Sivera Srupoi Krishna Nityadas. Eternally Krishna's servant. And when we are placed in our natural position of serving Krishna, when we try our best to place ourselves in that position, regardless of who we are, what our capacity is, if we try our best to do something for Krishna's pleasure, Some people, according to who their fate is, their karma is, or whatever, they have the ability to do something wonderful. They have the strength, they have the intelligence, they have the charisma. Charisma means power, to do something huge and wonderful. And some people just have the ability. There was one Mataji that I'm thinking of right now. Her name was Kalingana, and she used cooking the sweets for Radha Gokulananda in the manor, Bhaktivinoda Manor in England. And she made these little, most delicate, wonderful, intricate sweets every day. She was such a powerful devotee. There are so many powerful devotees that we don't know about, that just doing their little insignificant services, but with devotion. This is what they're... capacity is to do that. Capacity on one level, but the capacity for bhakti is very high. And that's what we want to really increase. Our capacity to love Krishna, and then naturally we'll also have affection for all living entities. even an ant. We don't just, or flies, or mosquitoes even. They all give us trouble maybe, but not just, oh, you're giving me trouble. You know what happens when you give me trouble? You do it to little entities, and it's not that far. You do it to other people. You're in my way. Do you know who I am? I'm me, and I'm the most important person in the entire existence. And if you get in my way, beware. This is not devotional consciousness, by the way. Okay, I'm not doing very well in finishing the verse even. Oh, yes. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, meaning that his own nature as a servant of Krishna, and Krishna's servant of servant of servant of Krishna. Naturally, we are blissful by nature because Krishna is an ocean of Satchitananda, and we are little drops of that ocean of bliss, knowledge, and existence. We're just drops, but yet, when the little drop is connected to the supreme drop, the supreme ocean of bliss, we become incredibly blissful. He can give up his body when he's connected with his actual identity, and then he will resume his spiritual identity, his relationship. He'll resume his relationship with Krishna. He will go back home, back to Godhead, and live with Krishna in the spiritual realm. I think it's good if whoever gives class tomorrow can read the verse and the purport. The purport is actually really wonderful. It's a little bit long. So many wonderful points in it. And even at the end of the purport, Prabhupada speaks about, because in the verse it talks about Gyanasima Chuttabala, by the sword of knowledge. And Prabhupada explains it's given by Krishna. And in order, he explains, in order to hold the sword of knowledge, to be able to have a big heavy sword. If you've ever been to any of these chat museums in the forts of India, in Jaipur or Udaipur or something, the kings, there's this one, they have the clothes of the king of Jaipur. Did you see it? He was like 7'4", and he could eat more halava than a brahmachari. He used to eat like 2 kilos of halava every morning for breakfast. Then he'd go out. He was huge. He was a fighter. And he had this huge sword. So how can little me pick up, and what to speak of, hold the sword of, the heavy sword of transcendental knowledge? So Prabhupada explains that when one serves the guru and Krishna, in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instructions, Balaram gives one strength. To actually be able to take the knowledge that we hear and understand and apply it, Lord Balaram, Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Baladev, gives strength. Balaram, Prabhupada explains, I'm sort of cheating, I'm going to the end of the purport and reading some of it. I can't resist. Balaram is Nityananda. Vajendanandanaye Satsi Sutta Hoilo Se Balaram Hoilo Nitai. This Balaram comes with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali, one may very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. They come especially to deliver the fallen souls of this age. Papi tapa jata chilo hari nama udarilo. What does udarilo mean? Does anyone know? Raise your hand if you know what udarilo means. Sukadev. Yeah, uplift, deliver. Udarilo. So even if you are papi, tapi, whatever, if you have done so many improper things, by the power of Balaram and Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, and Gaur, the holy names will uplift you. Uplift you means uplift your consciousness. Their weapon is Sankirtan, Harinam. Thus one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan, Prabhupada says. He says other things too. But I'll just read one more little bit and cheat a little extra. One cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balaram. Srila Narottama Das Thakur therefore says, Nityayera kuruna have braja radha krishna pave. When one receives the mercy of Balaram Nityananda, one can attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna very easily. Okay. Excuse me for my doing that. Okay, thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Yes. Excuse me. Yes. Brahmakund. Brahmakund.
In the beginning of the class, you were mentioning, you know, how when we get old and non-devotees are cynical, what is the purpose? And
yes, go ahead.
Even devotees, you know, as devotees, we have the knowledge, but we miss the goal, which is we love Krishna. We have the study of knowledge, but we miss the goal. And we don't use the transfer of knowledge. Why is that? So why is that, you know, we are doing externally, but we miss the goal of knowledge?
I asked myself that same question. Because I'll answer it in one way. Because lack of depth, lack of desire to actually love Krishna, lack of understanding that Krishna is a person. We're caught in the realm of impersonalism. We don't think of Krishna as a person. We don't think of what it means to be a person, that he reciprocates. What does it mean to be a person? Raise your hand. What does it mean to be a person? How would you help me by defining the word? What does it mean to be a person to you? Individual, yes, that's good characteristic, yes.
With feelings,
emotions. Yes. Relationship. A person reciprocates, an in-person can't reciprocate. Krishna says, yayatamam prapadyante. Accordingly, how you approach me, how you deal with me, I'm going to deal with you. This is a question that I find myself asking. Krishna is someone who's going to reciprocate with you how you deal with him. So what we're seeing in one sense about Krishna is how he's reciprocating with us based on how we're dealing with him. So in one sense, it's like a mirror in one sense. This, you see this when Krishna enters the arena of the wrestling mats with the Kamsa had arranged with Chanura Mastika, Sala Tosala, and what was the name of another wrestler? Kuta. Yeah. So each of the persons, they looked at Krishna and they saw him completely different. Each individual, according to their mentality, they saw Krishna completely differently. Yayatamam prapadyante.
So that made me ask the question, what is he really like then? If I'm just seeing a reflection of my own consciousness in one sense, what is he really like? And that made me answer, well, what am I really like? And who do I show myself, who do I reveal myself, who I really am, what I really am like? Who do I be that person? I don't know if you're following what I'm saying very well, but and to people who we really trust. And who do we really trust that we know that they love us? Because someone who loves us will never do anything that will harm us. So who does Krishna really reveal his nature to? And what is his real nature? His real nature is, amazingly enough, he likes to take care of cows. And he likes to play a flute. And who does he... And he's very charming, so charming. He charms everyone. Everyone who's not envious of him, of course. So Krishna reveals himself to those who love him as the Brijbasis love him. And there he can just relax and be just what who he is. Although he's all-powerful, he can be anything. This is what he likes to do. He likes to play his flute. He likes to take care of the cows. And naturally, he likes to be amongst those who love him in such a way and don't want anything from him. Just imagine how hard it would be to be God, where everyone all day long is praying to you for this and that, and give me this and give me that and give me this and give me that. And some, of course, I can't imagine what it's like to be him, of course. But, yeah, he likes Vrindavan. So I was trying to answer your question and I got lost, that he's a person. And if we, with all the characteristics of a person, but he's the supreme person, and the more we understand that our devotional service is an offering of devotion to this person, and we actually are trying to do something for this supreme person, the supreme all-attractive person's pleasure, then the reciprocation is more obvious. He reciprocates. And then naturally we want to do something more for him, and it's increasing. Did I answer your question? There was. Yes.
Maharaj, generally we say that from the spiritual master we get strength in order to progress in spiritual life. The verse says that the spiritual master allows one to sharpen the sword of our knowledge. Is there a distinction between the two statements?
Well, what Prabhupada emphasized in his purport, the part that I read, was that strength to wield that knowledge comes from Balaram. But the spiritual master also is seen as the representative of Balaram. So the two points are reconciled. But we have to hold on tightly to the instructions. Otherwise, it's not mechanical, superficial. He has his part in the relationship, and we have our part in the relationship, like every relationship. And we should focus on doing our part, and then we will get the strength. Yes. Do you have the capacity to do the best way?
At least if I know, I can try.
be very kind to everyone. Nityananda Prabhu was so kind to everyone. He would, one of his preaching strategies, which I don't recommend you doing in Melbourne, is that when he would meet someone on the road, he would fall to the ground and roll around. I think that you might get arrested if you try this one. And just beg people to take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and accept his gifts. He was very merciful when one devotee who was serving Mahaprabhu had trouble. Mahaprabhu said, "Go away." And Nityananda Prabhu helped him and gave him some other service. He was very, very, very kind. He was kind to the non-devotees and the devotees. And the kindness was not just material kindness. It wasn't. It was seeing from the perspective of them as eternal souls. So he looked after people's interests. Even those who attacked him in Chaitanya Bhagavat, I think there's this pastime of one thief wanted the jewels of Nityananda. And after 3 days, Nityananda like slapped him in different ways, and then finally he gave him mercy. Because he had to rectify his mentality before he could really give him mercy. So preaching, basically, in a very, very open-hearted way, participate in the... that was Prabhupada's mood. That was the mood of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That if you help others, Krishna recognizes you. Just like... the parents know this. Sometimes the children will fight. If someone helps the children, the parents are so pleased. Even more than if they're helping the parents themselves. So if we help the children of Krishna, the souls, aham bija pada pita, then Krishna is very pleased. That's the mood that Srila Prabhupada taught us. He even said in a letter that without preaching, the institution becomes rubbish. Rubbish is such a harsh word, but it was the correct word, it was the word he wanted to use. So he instilled that so strongly in his followers. He also told me personally once that if Krishna gives you the opportunity to preach, you should take it. It is my standing order to all my disciples, meaning followers, to preach. If Krishna gives you the opportunity to preach, you should take it. Any other questions? Yes.
And the orders of our spiritual master.
Say that again.
How can we develop a stronger faith with the orders of our spiritual master?
Did you get any direct orders? Any direct order?
Not from Prabhupada directly, but from his books and from his tapes. From his disciples. Well,
some people are born with great simple-hearted faith. Some people have to take the instructions and apply them, and then by their experience, their faith increases. So, since you asked the question from the point of view of someone who wanted to increase their faith,
so we strengthen it.
Strengthen
it.
Yeah. Then we should take
something that we know that will be pleasing to Srila Prabhupada and do it. And just for his pleasure. And get that part really clear. This is my advice anyway, my thought, in answer to your question at this moment. Just do that and see how Krishna reciprocates, and that will increase strength and faith. And of course there's the basic, and also coming from you, that question, you've been serving through easy times and difficult times for decades and decades and decades. So we assume you're asking this question for my benefit and the benefit of others.
My benefit?
Huh?
My benefit.
Just because this world is such a selfish world, just to do something for someone else's pleasure, that in itself is satisfying. What to speak of for Prabhupada's pleasure, for Krishna's pleasure, for pleasure of Radha-Balava. Prabhupada said the key to having a community in Krishna consciousness is that everyone, and this was his words, should rally around the deities. So do something for the pleasure of C.C. Radha-Balava, C.C. Gornatai, C.C. Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra Devi. Do something for their pleasure. I've brought this leaf, this flower, this fruit, this water, just for you. Kindly accept it. I've brought this devotee. Also, yeah. There's another way to look at it. Just for, I like to use the example of, it's not only about book distribution, but it's also about book distribution. It's also about preaching. It's also about taking risks. Risks. Intelligently taking risks for Krishna's pleasure, because we know that it will please him. When you're doing book distribution, some days everyone wants a book, and other days you can't. No one wants a book. And then you give up your pride that you're doing it. People are taking books by your power and by your wonder, and you do it as a service and independence on Krishna's power and Krishna's mercy. And that gives us faith. To do any service day after day after day after day, when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, just because it will be pleasing to Krishna. And then that brings happiness to the soul. Would you like to add anything or comment? Yes. You have to speak very loudly. I said that Krishna reciprocates with us, and your question, what's your name, Prabhu?
Arav.
Arav.
Yes,
Prabhu. Why doesn't he talk to us? When I was a young boy, my mother used to get upset with me. And she would say, talking to you is like talking to the wall. So Krishna talking to most of us is like talking to a wall. We're going like this. Can't hear you. Can't hear you. Can't hear you. So if we are very sincere and we try our best to please Krishna, the Dami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mamu Piyante, it will become, his voice, which is always there, will become louder and clearer to us. Right now, Krishna Bhuli Se Jeeva Nadya Bahimuk. I can't do it right now. It wouldn't work. But if we have our back to Krishna, we can ask, why can't I see Krishna? But gradually the process of sadhana bhakti, the process of purifying the heart, is the process of turning to Krishna and facing him, and then we could see him. Did that answer your question okay?
Yeah.
All right, Krishna Das.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. How are you today? Good, Guru Maharaj. Thank you for the nice class.
Thank you for listening sometimes. Some of the class like playing and moving around too. Thank you for the parts when you were paying attention.
Guru Maharaj, as you were saying that we have to obey our spiritual master or our ancestors' instructions to sharpen the sword of our knowledge. But what does the sword of knowledge cut?
Ignorance. This is described in the fifth, including material attachments. This is described in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita also, that with the sword of knowledge we should cut our attachment to the tree of material existence and become extremely attached to Krishna. Extremely attached to Krishna. That means we should learn to love Krishna. And that means that we have to hear about Krishna and hear about Krishna and hear about Krishna. Can I have that for a second, please? And neglect our hearing about Spider-Man. Because when we hear about Krishna, we hear about his qualities and how he interacts with his devotees, how he interacted with Ajamil, how he interacted with the cowherd boys who just called out to him, and the cows were calling out to him when there was a forest fire. So many subtle things we hear about how Krishna deals with his devotees, and we become attracted to him. Now, here's the kind of person that I really want to have a relationship with and serve. By hearing about Krishna's beauty, Rukmini Devi fell in love with Krishna just by hearing about Krishna. What did I just say?
Rukmini Devi just fell in love with Krishna by just hearing the beauty of Krishna.
Hearing about Krishna, his qualities, his form, characteristics, his activities. We want to hear and hear and chant seriously, means in a focused way. Recently I heard and read Prabhupada saying someone asked Prabhupada in very early days, perhaps 1967, how to chant. And Prabhupada said, I said this last time I mentioned this, but I didn't do it. I should have it in front of me. Because Prabhupada's words will be much better than what I remember of Prabhupada's word. He said, you should chant thinking that, oh Krishna, I need your help so much. I am falling. I am failing. Please allow me to chant your holy names. In that mood, we should chant in a very prayerful way. And then we will be with Krishna so quickly. And he will hear us because we're sincerely calling for him in need of his mercy. Sometimes, especially when you're, how old are you now? 12. So now you are big. When you were little, when you would walk across the street downtown in Melbourne, what would you do? You'd hold your mother's hand tightly. And were you afraid? Even when you hold, and when you were afraid, did you hold more tightly? Yeah. And did your mother always take care of you? Yeah. And she knew you were there holding tightly. So we want to hold tightly onto Krishna. And the more tightly, the more we feel we need Krishna's protection and care and affection And the more we want to reciprocate with him, the more we will hear him and be with him and experience his reciprocation. Okay. Abhi Nobaji. Kogya.
Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Sisi Gonitai ki jai. Sisi Radhabalava ki jai. Sisi Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra Devi ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda. Huh? You want to give it to me right now, or okay? Thank you.
Hare Krishna, those who have done Bhakti Shastri and has to receive certificates, you had to come forward. So we will not be calling out individual names, but I know many devotees are around here. You can come closer, and Prabhu will give the certificate. Hare Krishna.
This certificate is modeled after my university degree.
Oh, yeah.
You have to say the name. I'm not going to do it.
Anandavardhan Prabhu. No, it will not work like that. Dvija Pitambar Prabhu. Hare Krishna, if you are supposed, please come closer. You can look at there and you get to get the certificate. Look at the devotees and give me. Seva Bhagavan Prabhu. Chandaneshwar Prabhu. Apurva Arundhati Mataji. Oops.
Hare Krishna.
Balavan Srinivas Prabhu.
You have to keep studying, okay? Bhakti Vaibhav.
Lilith. No, Mataji is not here. Mukunda Krishna Prabhu. Mukunda Krishna Prabhu. Balavan Srinivas Prabhu.
That's you. Keep studying.
Bhakti Priya Madhaji. Prabhu, give away to Prabhu, move a little bit. Madhaji, I have to come.
Studying.
You go close that way. Pavan Jagannath Prabhu.
Keep studying. I'm going to tell everyone that.
Dikshit Sharma Prabhu. Dikshit Sharma. Yes.
Study more. Keep studying, please. Please keep studying.
Malsia Mataji.
Mataji, you should study and teach.
Pragati Leela Mataji.
Keep studying and teach. Help others.
Krishnamai Mataji.
Study, teach, help others.
Preeti Nirman Mataji. Who? Is there? I've given already. Rasika. Give me Rasika.
Keep studying.
Rasika Shiromani Prabhu. Ratikali Mataji. Ratikali Mataji. Madhukar Prabhu. Not here.
Yes, it's.
Okay. Premananda Tarangani Radha Mataji. Hari Sevika Mataji. Sarga Lakshmi. Uttama Bhakti, you can give. Come forward. Last one. Sarga Lakshmi Mataji. Yeah. Shriji Vallabhi Mataji. Later. Mataji, just I'll do after that. Let them collect. Yeah, later. Sarga Lakshmi Mataji. Krishna Rati Mataji. Madhukar Prabhu is here. Madhukar Prabhu. Madhukar Prabhu. Uttama Bhakti Prabhu, last one, Uttama Bhakti, towards the end. Uttama Bhakti. Done already. Uttama Bhakti. Radhika Priya Mataji. Can you get Uttama Bhakti at the end? Who has got the... Dham Rupini Mataji. Sunita Danda Mataji. Uttama Bhakti Prabhu. Kaushalananda Prabhu. Next hand up and roll. Hema Malini Mataji. Get the mercy. Get. Hema Malini Mataji. Mataji, yeah. Yeah. Indriya Shri Mataji. Mohita Mataji. Then a bit. Stand up and Prabhu. Yeah, okay. Sariga Mataji. Raja Prabhu. Shri Subhadra Mataji. Not here.
Have to keep studying, yes.
Lalita Leela Prakashini Mataji. Vibhor Prabhu. I need Vibhor. Haribo, give me Vibhor. Vibhor. Towards the end, V.
Keep studying, please.
Thank you.
Vibhor Prabhu. Anyone waiting? Sarva Mangala Mataji. That's already done. Hare Krishna, it's done. That's it, yeah.
Hemalata Mataji
is... I think it's done. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Practice hard and you can go to Krishna.
going to help me up.